Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning. As you heard, we have a treat in store for you. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, and we're continuing with celebrating Black History Month, and we have a special gift, who is Kelly Lee Evans, a Juno Award-winning vocalist, and she's going to be sharing her remarkable story on revitalizing her body and career after literally being struck by lightning and experiencing a traumatic injury. Kelly Lee, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Charlotte. How are you doing?
Just fine. Oh, I'd like you to introduce yourself in your own way to our audience.
My name's Kelly Lee Evans. I'm a singer-songwriter here. Well, I say here, but I'm out in the East Coast. Not even the East Coast. I'm in the middle coast in Ottawa. And I'm just really honored. I was so honored that you reached out. It's funny, like a lot of times we, you know, go on the radio to promote an album or to promote, you know, something that's happening or a show, and I don't have anything planned out in Vancouver. So when you wrote, I was like, oh, that's so amazing. I get to just talk.
Well, I heard you at Christmas time. There was a benefit in Ottawa, and they raised the largest amount of funds. And during the day, Ottawa TV was doing talking about you.
Ah, yeah, that was for CBC. I think it was probably for CBC Project Give. And so every Christmas they get together and they pick a charity. And this year it was the Ottawa Food Bank. And they raise money all throughout the day. And it was a real honor to be part of that program. And it's funny, like, I wake up really early and I was given an early morning slot. So I just felt like, okay, I'm just going to bring energy. Because I know it's hard to get up in the morning for a lot of people. So that's what we did. And a lot of people wrote and just said, oh, you woke us up that morning.
Yes, you did have so much energy. And that brings us into our Get Started song this morning. It's your Feeling Good cover of Nina Simone's song.
Yeah, I love that one.
Sky, you know how I feel.
Welcome to our Friday Speak Up show. We call this Speak Up, Listen Up, and Act Upon What You Hear. I'm Charlotte's Sister C. Farrell, and my special guest today is Kelly Lee Evans. And it sounds like that song is more than just a song. Is that your mantra?
It's a mantra and an anthem. You know, I have not heard that song. Like, I sing it live, so I never listen to it. I haven't heard my version in such a long time. And, I mean, it just took me back to recording it and to the musicians that were there and the guitarist Marvin Sewell and his beautiful solo. It's just, it was really, to sit down and, like, listen to the whole song, top to bottom, I haven't done in I don't know how long. Yeah, years.
That recording was made at the Jakarta International Jazz Festival in 2010. What directions have life taken for you in the decades since then?
Well, you know, I've definitely had a lot go on. That album went on to win. We actually recorded it in France, in the north of France, I think recorded in Nier. And so just outside Paris, I should say. And that album went on to win Juno of the Vocal Jazz Juno of the Album of the Year. And then it really opened up things for me. Before then, I really was mostly based here in Canada, a few gigs in the U.S. I was just chipping away, trying my best to quote-unquote make it. And a label in France found me off through MySpace. And through a competition that I had come in second a couple years before that called the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz Vocal Wow. Competition. And it's now the Herbie Hancock jazz competition. But they found me via that, contacted me on my MySpace, and I ended up going there. And that began this whole life of going back and forth from France, recording another two albums, both for Universal Music France, that changed my life. I went from having never gone to France to going, being there probably every month for about 2 years.
Yeah, I saw that you were going there so much. I thought maybe you were born there, but you were born in Ontario, right?
Yeah, I was born in Scarborough. I left Scarborough to come to school in Ottawa back when I was like about 17, 18, and I never left the Ottawa region. You know, I lived out in the countryside near Ottawa, but I just kind of stayed out this way. But, you know, after so much, like being in France so often, being there every month and getting to know the language and getting to know the people and the culture and realizing that so much of my work was taking place in Europe, and that I felt like it might be time to move there. And so I was really in 2013 I had an accident, which you mentioned, the lightning strike, and started to, you know, heal as best as I could from that. But in 2015 I thought I was gonna, though I couldn't hold my microphone, even though I couldn't cut my food, that pushed me. But the second injury in 2015, all my gigs had to be canceled. I couldn't get to the bathroom without crawling along the floor. And when you don't have any money, you don't have a way to earn any money, you're living on donated funds, and you don't know if you're ever going to feel well enough to work again. Like, that's those, you know, the whole, like, oh, you know, like, I'm doing this so that I can create a career. No, that kind of just leaves you because you don't know what's coming, you know? Yeah. And, I think the biggest thing that kept me going was just, like, I have three young children who need me to exist, and they need me to continue. Like, I just didn't have a choice. That's how I feel about it. And I'm thankful that was the string. And I think that's the thing. Like, I think when you're in that kind of time and those kind of situations, you just need one string that can help pull you through. And then other things bubble along, you know, like you start to connect other strings. You see how important my family and friends are, you know, and then you realize that even though people aren't seeing you on a constant basis, they're still listening to the music and still feel touched by it in some way. And so that's another string. And then I started to find things around me that I still loved and still enjoyed. And I believe that all those things work together, but I definitely credit having children and like family that cared about me as being like the biggest reason to just make sure that I got up every morning.
Yeah, I can identify with you with that. I was injured, had a head injury in Toronto.
Oh.
And in March of 89.
Oh, wow.
And having three kids that needed to eat real food was a great motivation to, just push and learn different things, learn a lot within energy medicine. And I understand you do, among your keynote talks, you do a lot of talking about mind-body healing and some of those practices that helped you.
Yeah, I do. I do. I really feel like that's what got me through the days. You know, once you've realized, okay, I got to stay here. I've got to be here. Now what?
Yes.
Now what? And I created around me this, like, it was through a suggestion, I think, of a friend. You know, she sent me a photo of her book, just her book about, like, how she kept through her day. It was like a plain notebook that she would write her day schedule in. And then she could check things off that had been completed. And I had the books like that around me, and I just started to make the simplest of lists, you know, would be, so 5 minutes deep breathing, change clothing, take a shower. You know, like in the early stages, maybe if I could get those five things done, call a friend. And I made that list. And then I kept building that list of things that I needed to get through each day. So that was just like the basics, you know. They became my prescription.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to follow those every day. And I still follow that every day. I wake up at 5:30 so that I can do all of the things that I need to function before I can function for anybody else. So, I mean, I do yoga. I need to stretch my body. You know, because part of, like, healing from a situation like this is that I was out there, you know, a friend of mine, Amanda Martinez, who's an amazing world music Latin singer, songwriter based in Toronto, she raised money for me to be able to live for a year with my family so that I didn't have to wonder where we were, if we were going to eat. And I had friends around who, like, helped to cook and clean and take my kids to appointments and take me to appointments. But that's just it. Those appointments, so many of the things that we need to do to feel better are things that are not covered. They're things that you need to pay for. And, you know, whether it's you're trying acupuncture or osteopathy or any of the different types of body care that you can do, you know, and, like, there's so many different ideas that people had that maybe this could help, maybe this can help. And I was out there trying those things. But when I recognized that I could not sustain going to all of these practitioners and also take care of my family, I had to bring in the things that I had learned from going to those places and use them for myself. So I found that, like, developing a yoga practice at home was really important. So I would wake up in the morning, meditate for, like, when I say meditate, I mean basic.
Yes,
like,
I understand.
Deep breathing.
Right.
that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, like, anything other than just basic breathing. But, and then yoga. I would do yin yoga in bed, and I still do it in bed. Because I needed to stretch my limbs or they start to twist in on themselves. And I had to find those things out the hard way. But developing that list of things that make me happy, I call it my happy list, that was so integral to getting better then, and it's what's keeping me better now, although I still have flare-ups. And I was going to ask you, like, are you feeling better?
Oh, yes. It initially took a long time because I was angry initially that I got hurt, but then now I do poetry, but poetry was a healing form. I had worked in public health where I wrote things, I was speaking, and words would run around the page. So the first things I wrote were these just really angry poems, and then I moved over into grief and the heartbreak. But I also found wonderful healing practitioners in Toronto, Dr. Fitzritson. And, you know, we talked about mind-body healing and some of those things that you've talked about, gratitude.
Oh, my gosh, that's so important. That's part of my daily practice, gratitude, yes.
And then the kindness of friends. You know, February, sometimes people just want to pause around the 14th about love. But you had loving friends who... you know, red helped you, you know, to maintain your house, helped you be able to feed your children, helped you to maintain hope. And I had within my family and extended family, you know, people who did that. So I think it's really, is that part of the mission of your work and of the types of talks that you're doing now?
Yep, it definitely is. You know, I realized that, like, so much of what I was doing was being out and about and, like, you know, out in the world and more this kind of macro view. But when I had, it was like two years just in bed, you know, or like not being able to be very mobile, you recognize like how important it is that the people around you are and the people that in your friends. So I make it a point now, I have it in my schedule that I contact a friend every day or two, you know, and I make sure that I nurture my relationships as best as I can and try my best to be a good friend to others. And so, yeah, that is something that I do talk about. And it's funny because, like, you can get to isolate, especially when you have an illness, you know, and it's very easy to feel sorry for yourself because, well, you're not feeling well, you know. You think about, like, how crummy you feel for yourself when you have the flu or a cold, when you have something where you don't know what the end that there is an end coming, you know, you can't tell how long it's going to take to feel better. It can really be, it can get you down. It can really get you down. So I definitely feel that keeping in contact with friends and diminishing isolation is a huge key to feeling better.
And, you know, at this time when we're talking about reducing the preponderance of, you know, medical practices to put people on opioids or things that tell their brain they're feeling better, tell their brain that's not to hurt, that these things that you are doing, I learned to do too, the stretching, meditation, laughing. That those are things that have, you know, that are healing and that have made that connection to your career. I notice in the tour that you have now that some of them say keynote and some of them say singing. Are you doing mostly universities or what are you doing as you have this alternating keynote presentations and vocal presentations?
Well, you know, it's a mix, and there's things that are not even on my schedule that I don't mention, but in the daytimes I'm going to schools and I'm talking to schools, you know, and talking to young people about developing their happy lists now and really working on self-care, because I believe in it. I truly believe in it, and I get to continue to see firsthand with myself, like, how it's been helpful. And I just feel like all I can do is share my story. So I have been doing some in schools, and I did speak at at my own university a couple weeks ago as part of Bell's Let's Talk event. And then also, but a lot of, I'm actually just speaking also to corporations and to associations, you know, that people who... just humans. I'm talking to humans, and humans are everywhere.
Yes.
Humans of all ages and all occupations.
Well, I think that connects in for helping us to understand why you're unbreakable. And so we're going to listen to your unbreakable.
Until I realize it's like, if I'm still here, that means I'm unbreakable, you know, until I'm gone. And I think, and we all are, you know, if we're still here, then just keep going. Let's just keep going.
All right, we gotta check that out.
I give my mind, won't give. Yes, I know tonight won't call. But I'm not cold, still bold, a lover from the start. Still dare, still care, a warrior of the heart.
Unbreakable by Kelly Lee Evans, who is our guest this morning on Speak Up. Wow. That song is so motivating. It's so rich. What would you like your legacy to be if your great-grandchildren were talking about you in the future?
Oh, dear, that's a great question. Oh, I think I would love for them to think about me the way that I think about my mom, which is that, like, she was such a happy lady. She was, like, really funny. She's kind of kooky and funny and, like, smiling and laughing. And, yeah, I think I would really like them to remember me that way. That would be a pretty awesome thing. My ex's grandfather passed away a couple days ago, and that was just, like, that's what popped into my brain, just his laugh. It's like, he had, like, a really goofy laugh, and I think it's kind of cool. He was 91, and Wow. And I think it's cool that, like, that was the thought that I had of him, you know, leaving this earth with that, just, like, his very goofy laugh. Yeah, so I'd like that. I'd like my grandkids to kind of remember that about me.
You have so much laughter and happiness in your voice. What does that song reflect about your life?
Oh, you know, I feel like I felt like at times where I was just like, you know, wanting to just love and love and love, and feeling like it wasn't always like reciprocated, or it wasn't, you know, just it didn't come back in the way that I thought it should, quote unquote, should come back, you know, should.
Right.
And I think it was this realization that, like, you know, that even the lyrics, I gave my heart, I gave my time, I gave my my mind, won't give my spark. You know, like, this whole idea that, like, it's not a waste, that this is never going to be a waste, that that the ember in me that is that's burning is still going to keep going. And for it to then, like, I can think back, like, what's so funny is this CD, like, that's, music was probably written in 2014, right after the 2013 accident with the lightning. And then I didn't know in 2015 I would be sick again, and I'd hit my head and have to deal with a second brain injury. And then now to be on the other side of that, not fully recovered, but feeling a lot better, and be like, hey, look, still here, mm-hmm. You know, still here. And kind of like, I don't know if you remember that, I guess it was Timex, takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. That idea that it, or, you know, the, these are all like old things that like young people don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, that used to be an ad on TV. And then there's, you know, like you get the, it's like a toy and it's on like a base that's round and you hit it and it bounces back up and you hit it and it bounces back up. Like that idea of just like, yeah, I'm not going down. I might stay down for a bit, but I'm coming back up. And until I'm not, like, I get it. We all go. You know, we're not guaranteed any, nobody's going to be here forever. Nothing is going to be here forever. So I don't have like a sense of like, oh, like I can't die. I get it. I could go tomorrow. I could go right now. But for as long as I'm here, I'm still here. And I feel really, really like that's an accomplishment. So people say to me all the time, like, oh, don't tell people your age. I'm 45. I'm so proud of every year, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I earned every minute.
And, you know, when you say still here and taking a licking, there's a Indigenous woman rap singer who has a song called Still Here. And the way that she says it, you know, it's like despite all these things that have happened, being put down, not getting the rights that were in accords that were promised, that she's still here, and there's a whole team of people saying still here. And
yep.
I think you probably have some of that same experience as being a person of African heritage in Canada or traveling the world. Are there things that you've had to overcome?
You know, I feel like I'm like one of those horses with blinders on, you know? I'm not saying it's not going around, but I'm just like, I'm looking ahead, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, I think it's very much like a way that my mom was, and my dad also, like I wasn't raised with him, but I still knew like about his vibe, you know, and how he went about things. I would see him, you know, throughout the year, and I knew his philosophies. And it was just very head down, keep going forward. And so it doesn't mean that those things are not happening or that they're not affecting what I'm doing, but I just, you know?
Yeah, you don't focus on it, or it doesn't become something that you worry about as you're pressing forward to bring a new message or do new things with your music.
Yeah, and I can do that because so many people came ahead of me and, you know, have paved this road. And I'm hoping that there's other people that are going to be able to come behind me, you know? And we're just like, let's just keep going.
Now, speaking of that, who are some of your sheroes or heroes?
Oh, once again, my mom. My mom, yeah, definitely my mom. But, you know, I was pretty lucky. I have to say, like, early into my career, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I didn't really, like, I had wanted to be a singer. I went to school. I had done all these things. Like, you know, I had two undergraduate degrees in the time it took me to do one. I was, like, I had started my master's for legal philosophy, all, like, to do something that I never really even had a true desire to do, but just really to because I was too afraid to tell my parents what I really wanted, which was to sing. And when my mom passed away, I went to see, like, one guru who can kind of be like a hero to me, because she gave me permission to just put it out there in the universe. And this idea that, you know, came to when I did that, even though I thought she was crazy, I was like, oh, okay, sure. And I did it. I put it out in the universe. And just this idea came to me that I would be okay making a choice like that, that no matter what happened, I would be okay. You know, that if there was a heaven and my mom was in it, she was looking down and she realized that I was unhappy, mm-hmm. Trying to do my master's, and she would want the best for me. And that all the things that she'd worried about when she was on Earth weren't important. And if there was no heaven, then she didn't care anyways. And it was this, like, it was this freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I can do or be anything. I don't have to worry about making her happy. But that didn't come till she died. You know, so this woman kind of, like, opened that for me. So I had my mom who, you know, gave me this hero image of, like, this person who's, like, had this spark and this joyous energy. And, you know, when she died, her funeral was full of people, and that was one hero. And then I have to say that hero was the school rule lady who kind of like opened me up. Twice in my life she's done that for me, where she let me see something I didn't see, you know. And then when I started to sing and I started to really take this role, you know, I had this desire, but I had kids, and I didn't know, like, how can I do this? How can I be a mom and be a singer? And at that competition, I told you about the monk competition, two of the judges were female, so Dee Dee Bridgewater and Flora Purim. And as big and as brightly shining as they were, they gave me their telephone numbers, they answered my phone calls, and they explained to me how they, you know, at a time way before I was even born, you know, or just one around when I was born, how they toured with families and how they made it work for them. And that helped me step out of that questioning that I was in then as well. So I found that, like, the heroes that I have tend to be people that I've actually met and have had some direct impact for me, you know, and because when I met some of the people that I kind of felt like, oh, about, you know, I kind of sometimes left a little bit disappointed because I built up this image in my brain, and that image was impossible for them to live up to. You know, they were human, and I was looking for somebody superhuman.
Yeah, I think, you know, the ways that you keep giving that connection to reality, connection to people that are close to you, I wonder if you could share three things that you think it's essential for people to do when they have experienced a major physical injury or a setback in life.
Well, the first thing I would do is like really learn, if you have an issue with this at all, learn to accept help. And that was my big thing that I was not capable of initially. You know, even I still I still remember being in a lounge. I had been helped by people that's their job. You know, people work at the airline. It was their job to help. So they did help. They brought me to the lounge, and I was left by myself, and I didn't know when they were coming back for me to bring me to the flight. And I sat there scared out of my mind because I was by myself. I couldn't push my own wheelchair or do the wheels myself because my hands were not working well and I didn't have an electric wheelchair. And they called my flight. And I had to ask for help. And there was a man a few seats down and the lounge was emptying out. And I said, excuse me. I was so used to doing for everybody else. You know, I couldn't imagine that I was now going to be in a position to ask for help. And I asked him, could you take me to my gate? And he left everything. He left his computer, his iPad, his phone. Of course. And he ran me to my gate. And it was like this, just, it was a humbling moment for me. Like, I actually had called my family at home and said, I'm here. Nobody's here to help me. And they're like, ask somebody around you. Like, I could not make that connection because I was not capable. So that would be the first thing. Long story short, learn to ask for help and accept the help. Accept it. And the second thing is, you know, really to listen to your body and listen to what it's telling you. Like, I was such a pusher, like push through, like I told you, like head down, blinders on, straight to the goal, you know? And just like, oh, that'll be fine. That's fine. Like, oh, this is hurting. No problem. Oh, I'm exhausted. No problem. I'm going to keep going. And I only thing that stopped me was like, you know, my body. I would just sometimes pass out, you know, or I could feel like the flare up coming back. Like my brain was just like, it was crazy. You know, it's hard to even explain. It would be like the two halves of my brain would feel like they're pulling apart because I'm pushing myself. And then next week I can't function. And it was like, it took me a year during recovery to actually listen to my body and take the rest when I needed the rest. And the third thing really is just like learning, it's not even just in the listening, but in learning to like really love like where you are when you're in it. You know, I think you mentioned like how angry you felt when you were hurt. And I felt that same way, you know. It was like, because there's all this idea that, like, this shouldn't happen to me.
Right.
This shouldn't have happened to me. This shouldn't happen to anybody. But it's like, why? Why shouldn't it happen to you? You know, I shouldn't be hit by lightning. Lightning strikes. Things get in the way of lightning. Like, am I the first person? No. Will I be the last? No. That's just how it is. People die. People get sick. We're not going to be here forever. We're going to get sick. People fall. They hit their heads. Like, these things happen. And when you kind of come out of this whole idea that this shouldn't happen, nothing bad should ever happen to me, like, it's crazy making. And to step out of that like insanity, because it's just like it's an inability to accept reality. Like, the reality is that as long as humans will be on this earth, we're going to get hurt, we're going to get sick, we're going to die, we're going to eat, we're going to, like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes. One day I sat down and I laughed because it was like something the spirit was saying. You know, you could have been on the other side. You're still here.
Yeah.
So I think with transitioning from those really three essential points, accept help, listen to your body, and love yourself, love where you are now, we're going to go into hands up, which is
a way
you musically express that.
Seems every time I'm playing, I'm winning. I know it's not only me. And when I'm running, these words keep coming, and all is as it should be. It's such a funny feeling, knowing, not hoping, I'm taking everything I see. And I can handle what you're dealing, keep feeling, I'm living through you for me. So, who do you want me to be?
Who do you want me to love? Tell me who you want me to love. I put my hands up, my
Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. And we have our hands up with Kelly Lee Evans this morning. And I'm putting my hands up in gratitude to Robin and Gabby, who are rocking the boards here.
Thank you, Robin and Gabby.
And it seems like with that song, you're addressing personal, relationship, and social issues.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I mean, like, I think I really, when I was writing it, it was mostly, like, just personal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, man, I am not in control, you know? Yeah, I'm not in control. Like, I can make good plans, and, yeah, I'll do my best. That's all I can do. All I can do is my best on my end, you know? And after that, I'm not in control of the results.
Well, one of the things that you've had some great results with is this album, Come On. Can you share some of the things that's happening with you in developing that album and other work?
Yes. Oh, that's great. Thanks for asking. So the album came out the day after I hit my head in 2015 in France. And, I mean, I never got a chance to tour it. I never got a chance to really get it started. I had to take 2 years off, and when I came back, I was able to release the album here in Canada. So it has two releases, 2015 and 2017, and it was nominated that year for a Juno for 2018, and so that was really wonderful, and it's given me the opportunity to perform. I actually was in Burnaby. Oh gosh, what was the name? It was such a great venue. It's right off the highway. I performed there, I guess, in 2018. Oh, I wish I could remember the name. I loved it there. It's, like, right on the water, too. You go in the back. Do you know what I'm talking?
Chabot Art Center.
Chabot Art Center?
Say it again?
The Chabot Art Center.
Oh, the Chabot Art Center.
That's it! Oh, Chabot. Oh, I love that place. That was great. So, that was really great. So, I came out to perform that album, and I was part of the Junos that took place in Vancouver. And then when I felt well enough to get back on a plane and be on for like 7 hours, I started to go back to France. And so that's what I've been doing now. And if you look at a lot of my dates on my calendar, that's what you'll see. You'll see that I'm going back out to Europe. But it's really to introduce music that I made, you know, back then. But, you know, people were like, the booking agent was like, well, it's old music, but it wasn't old to me. I never got a chance to perform it,
right. You
know? And so that's basically what's been happening. I love it. I love getting a chance to finally introduce the music to audiences. But, you know, underneath that, I can feel, like, little ideas for new things popping up. So nothing concrete yet, but I even just a couple weeks ago, we were doing some shows for Black History Month, and I had this urge to do Nat King Cole. So we opened up the sets with like a whole 45 minutes of Nat King Cole songs, much in the way that we had did Nina. So I don't know if that's another thing that's coming, but I feel like I've been blessed by having a fan base that's pretty accepting of, like, the different things that I come up with and that I come out with. They come, like, even if they haven't seen me for a few years, they still come. So it's a nice thing. Yeah,
if life were a Midwest game, we'd say you're double suited with your musical energy and then this energy and knowledge about healing.
Yeah, it's been a lot of growth and a lot of recovery in different areas, you know, like not just physically, but mentally and in my spirit as well.
So for people who've been listening, our guest today is Kelly Lee Evans. And tell us how to get in touch with you online.
Well, you can find me at www.kellyleeevans.com. So kellyleeevans.com. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Okay. You know, we were talking about Black History Month, and there's a song that is termed the National Black Anthem. And this last week I played Ray Charles singing it, but today we're going to hear June's Diary performing Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Oh, great.
Jill's Diary.
Yeah. All right, y'all. So a while back, me and the girls were asked to sing the national anthem at a celebrity basketball game. But they asked us to sing a song called Lift Every Voice. So while we were in the midst of arranging it, we looked at each other and was kind of like, wow, this really touches on everything that's going on right now. So I need y'all to stand together. We need to lift our voices together to make a change, okay? We're gonna sing a little bit for you.
Lift every voice and sing till I let heaven ring. Ring with the harmony of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise.
Harmony. I hadn't heard that version by June's Diary, but this is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF Radio. Our guest this morning has been Kelly Lee Evans, a phenomenal singer, a woman who has shared her teachings with children in school. Imagine while touring, taking time to visit classrooms and talk to kids about health and heritage. So I want to just thank you and wish you all of the best as you are traveling back to France soon.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm leaving in a couple weeks. So it's going to be the longest one run we've done so far. It'll be about 10 days. But I'm thankful. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and we're just making a shout out to the people that produce festivals here. Bring Kelly Lee.
Oh, yeah, I would love to come back.
One of the things that we are going to be saying again, just in case people didn't have their pen a minute ago, can you give your website?
Yeah, sure. So KellyLeeEvans.com, KellyLeeEvans.com.
Okay, and some of the memorable points that we had this morning, we were talking about Kelly Lee had an experience of being hit by lightning, then having another fall, but that she didn't give up, that she's unbreakable. And three of her unbreakable things are accepting help, listening to your body, and loving where you are now rather than looking back and hanging on what was or might have been. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And for people who might be listening from the other coast, where are the places you're going to be while you are in mid-Canada, eastern Canada?
Oh, well, geez, my goodness. I know we're going to have a concert in Toronto May 22nd and 23rd at Jazz Bistro, and also here in Ottawa, the Ottawa area. In June 13th and 12th, we'll be in Gatineau and also in Manitic. And there's other dates that I'll be filling in. But right now, yeah, it does seem like a lot of the shows are happening in other countries. But and I don't have anything in BC right now, and I would love to come back. So I hope to be able to pull off something.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you again. And this has been Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. And when you hear this show, and when people ask me what time is it, my reply is it's always love time, poem time. Next week, we will be continuing on with our Black History Month specials. We'll be talking about the 25-year celebration of the healing that's gone on in Rwanda. We'll be transitioning over to Women's Month and having some great speakers that are talking about, again, projects that are kind and things that help move us forward. So love time, peace time, and I will talk to you another time, Kelly Lee.
Oh, thank you so much again for having me. Thanks to everybody. You guys are a great team. It's been great working with you to have this set up.
Nice hearing your laugh.
Thank you. Take care. I hope you feel like you continue to feel good. I always feel so, whenever I hear somebody else has a head injury as well, but we just keep moving, right? We're still here.
We're still here. And we got our hands up.
Yes.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time.